shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for.
Is there anything in your heart, maybe in the last couple of days, this morning, any thought, any meditation?
The last couple of days, I've actually had some thoughts.
Okay.
Basically from Titus chapter 2, and
I think
scripture that talks about us, how God teaching us how to live, denying worldly lusts, and living
godly,
denying worldly lusts and ungodliness, and living soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world.
Yes.
Because, of late, like there was a day I was praying, and I don't know where it came from, but it just said that this world is actually a world where everything is dead, and Christ came and showed us a new way of life. So, living in a dead world, you actually have to be alive to actually be able to live.
Yes.
To live in this world. So, I was like crying, God, just come and teach me how to live.
How to live. Oh my God.
Present world, in this present world, which is not of your way, like, and also like ways of how to deal with little foxes in your life that always try to pull you back, like you're trying to take steps and try to live. Like I know it's not by effort or it's not by works that you live a righteous life and all, but the more you try, it's like the more you have little foxes that you keep trying to pull you back and everything. And also I've just been thinking like. From our last session last week, I said that God is not going to tempt you. That God is not going to allow temptation more than what you can
bear.
You can bear, and also I also heard of that because I listened to the message, and I was like, the level of the salvation of your soul will determine the level of the salvation of your body. That means you can't have a body. You can't have a very spiritual soul and your body is fleshy.
Yes.
So that means the level of your salvation of your soul determines the level of the salvation of your flesh, which will now determine the level of things you can overcome. Because basically it's the flesh that is being tempted.
Yes.
So it's from the soul within that the flesh will be able to overcome the temptations and the thoughts and imaginations which try to exalt themselves above God.
Yes.
But so I've just been like, God, I think I need more salvation of my soul so that my body can tend to overcome much more things like that come my way. So and I think, and from some of the thoughts I've been thinking and having, I think like you're not going to. God knows the level of temptation which you can overcome.
Yeah.
And when it brings one, if you don't overcome it, you're not going to go to the next place until you overcome that.
Yes.
So the more you fail in that side doesn't mean we should not keep, you can always overcome it because God knows that we can overcome it. So we just also need to keep build up my soul more.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So those are, you are going through a wonderful experience, I can tell, because the Spirit of God is fleshing out the real message, right, of the gospel to you. Because the message of the gospel is obviously is revealing God, but in order for God to be revealed, they have to deal with the things, the hindrances, which is sin and death. Those are the two things that we need to overcome in order to come closer to God. So the Bible is a helps, and the scriptures helps to reveal God, but it also has their tools that it unveils in the spirit, right? For God, for example, is eternally over Satan, eternally above him. Satan can never rise to where he is because God himself is an overcomer, not an overcomer by walking, by being. Yeah. So, in order for you to overcome Satan, overcome the world, you have to come into the properties of God that are in an over, that are from that overcome dimension, that place where he is. It's called the realm of the highest, right? That's the realm where Jesus himself came from. When he was born of God, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God, right, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Even our feet. Now, Jesus Christ himself was born from that realm. Remember in the book of Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel came to Mary and began to tell her about Jesus, right? She said, you give birth to a son and everything. He said, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Yeah, it means he will come out of that realm, right? He will begin to produce qualities from the realm of the highest. Those are the properties that Jesus exhibited on the earth. When the cross came, he overcame the cross. He overcame death. He overcame Satan. Satan came to him. Satan left in shame because he had overcome him. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter the struggle that we might have, either in the flesh, in the soul, right? There are all kinds of things that war against the soul of man. The world is actually an instrument that Satan produced. The world is the product of Satan, his wisdom, that cherubic wisdom that Satan had when he came here. He produced something called the world. And that world is a great machine. The world is raised against ascension to keep man down. Yeah, just be down, just be down, just be a man. That's all. Just be, you see the things around you want to make you, just be a normal man. The same kind of weaknesses that men have, you should have them. The same kind of things that enslave men, entrap men, you should have them. Everybody should be the same. That's what the world tries to do. Praise the Lord. But it will take a great victory to come over that. Because when you talk about overcoming the world, let us see that. Let's just see 1 John. Amen. First John chapter 5. First John 5, we can read from verse 1 to verse 4.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yeah.
And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God. We love God and keep his commandments.
Yes.
For this is the love of God,
yeah,
that we keep his commandments,
yes,
and that his commandments are not grievous.
Yes.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our
faith. Praise the Lord. Give me a second. Thank you, Jesus. So this is the victory that overcometh the world, right? Even what?
Our faith.
Okay, so now verse 1 here says, I spoke about believing that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, right? Is born of God. Okay. See, that is the beginning, the whole idea of overcoming right? The whole idea of overcoming begins with that understanding that Christ is born of God. Now, it will take someone or something that is born of God to overcome the world. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that what? Overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Now, when you say overcome the world, what do you mean by overcoming the world? Praise the Lord. What does it mean to overcome the world?
That the world is, you're not subject to the world.
Yes.
Yeah, you have the authority.
Yes.
Over the world. You're not, the world is subject to you. You're not, you have like control.
Over it.
Over it.
Okay. Let's see 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15.
Love not the world,
mm-hmm.
neither the things that are in the world.
Yeah.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Yeah.
For all that is in the world,
mm-hmm.
the lust of the flesh,
yeah.
the lust of the eyes,
yes.
the pride of life,
yeah.
is not of the Father,
mm.
but is of the world.
Okay, verse 17.
And the world passeth away,
yes.
and the lust thereof.
Yes.
But he that doeth the will of God
abideth forever. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you see, now there's something, there is a property that is needed for overcoming. Verse 15 says, love not, right? That word love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love them, then what the love of the Father is not in him. Then all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but what? Is of the world. Now, the way you overcome the world is by not loving it. So if you love the world, you haven't overcome, right? You are still subject to the world. If you love the world, the love of the world is actually called lust. In verse 17, it says, the world passeth away, and then the lust thereof, right? Verse 16, for all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. Amen. Is not of the Father, but is what? Is of the world. So, it will take someone who has been born of God to come into defeat, to defeat the love of the world. Right? To take someone who is born of God to defeat the lust. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, if we read verse 9, this is whatever is born of God, right? Overcometh the world. Now let us read verse 10. Yes, it says he was in the world, right?
Yeah.
And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Then he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? Sons of God. Now, who are sons of God?
They are born of God.
Praise the Lord. So when he came, he gave as many as believed in him power, right, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 13, which were what?
Born
not of blood, nor of what? The will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what?
God.
Of God. Now, you see, he says they were born. How were they born? You get. Now, this blood here is not, he's talking about the flesh kind of blood, right? I mean, the way a natural man will give, a woman will give birth to a natural child, and that child will be her blood in the flesh. Say, but not the will of the flesh, but not of the will of man, but what? Of God. That, it says, now the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of Father, full of what?
Grace.
Of grace and what? And truth. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received grace and for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is where?
In the bosom
of the Father, he hath what? Declared him. Now, who declared him? The only. Now, who is the only begotten Son? It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the Father. So it will take the first begotten to declare him. And by declaration, he can give birth to many.
As declaring means showing us, like bringing God to us, like bringing us into God.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Praise the Lord. So if he's found in a realm and is declaring from that place, he's bringing the properties of God to us. Now, without being born, this is just what I wanted to show. Without being born of God, you cannot overcome the world. Amen. You see, there are people who try to overcome lust, all kind of lusts, by just trying. They just, if you just set my mind to it, I can do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because the world is highly spiritual. The world is powerful. They call it lust. Lust is the power of, is a kind, a perverted love that is powerful. That's why it's able to come against the love of the Father in the heart of someone. Right? Said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They can't dwell together because the other one is the opposite of it. Right? Now, it will take someone to be born of God. Now, a spirit, your spirit man does not sin because it is born of God. Right? Now, your soul will sin even if your spirit man is cannot sin. The soul will sin if because the soul is not born of God. So a soul that is not born of God will not overcome. The soul will still be sinning. Now, when you talk of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, those are what you call sin. Right? Sin is the product of the world. That's what the world is made to produce. The world's productivity, how they measure how productive the world is how much sin the world can produce. You see? That's why the Bible says fellowship with the world is what? Friendship with the world, sorry, is what?
Enmity.
Is enmity with God. Because the world is a machinery of sin. It teaches men how to sin. Right from when a child is tiny, just observing, you don't need to tell the child, go and do that bad thing. Someone learning to whisper to the child, go and steal. Steal? No. Why? There's something, the world around him is tutoring the child. You don't have to speak. Just the arrangement around the child. The way people, the child can watch the way people are behaving. as people are carrying out their conversation around the child is, it can detect lust in people. The child can discover, can learn that desire to keep his own, to have his own thing, that desire to have more than the other person. Sometimes we wonder, oh, why is the child like that? No, he's seeing it somewhere. Because the life that's been acted out around the child is, because at that stage of life, all the child is doing is learning. The child has to learn. And so the world around that the child is born into, the behavior of the people, everything the child is seeing is a product of this wisdom called the world. Right? So, and that wisdom is what produces sin. Amen. Now, I want us to see something in 1 John chapter 3. Amen. Verse 4. It says, whosoever committed sin, right?
Yep.
Transgressed also the law. For sin is the what?
Transgression of the law.
Okay, read verse 5.
And ye know that it was manifested to take away our sins.
Yes.
And in him is no sin.
Amen. Verse 6.
Whosoever abided in him sinned not.
Mm.
Whosoever sinned had not seen him, neither known him.
Okay. Verse 7.
Little children, let no man deceive you.
Mm.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous,
yes,
even as he is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He that committed sin is of the devil,
yeah,
for the devil sinned from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
For this purpose the Son of God was manifested,
yeah,
that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin,
yes,
for his seed remaineth in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot sin because, yes, he is born of God.
Yes. Verse 10.
In this, the children of God are manifest, yes, and the children of the devil. Mm. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God.
Yes.
Neither he that loveth not his brother.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You see that verse 9? See, whosoever is born of God doth not what?
Commit sin.
For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of what? Of God. Now, so this is the same thing we have been reading, right?
Yeah.
It will take you for you to be born of God to not sin. And not sin, anyone who does not sin is someone who has overcome the world. Right? The day you stop sinning, you come to a place where you cannot sin anymore, you have overcome the world. Because the world is the producer of sin. That's what teaches men to sin. That's what makes men sin. So to overcome the world is to overcome sin. Now there's a place where sin comes from, or a place where the world originated from. That's a different dimension that you need to overcome. But the first phase of overcoming is the world. After you overcome the world, then you now have to overcome the source of the world, where the world gets its potency from. Who's that?
The devil.
The Bible calls him the wicked one. That's the second man you need to overcome. But first, you need to overcome what? Overcome the world. And you have to be born of God. So, he says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, the birth of the soul, right, is a process. Right? The birth of the soul is a process. It says that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed. Why? What makes you born of God is that the seed of God, what? Is in you. Right? Because the seed of God is in you, then you will not, what? Commit sin. Because you are what? born of God, to take the seed of God in you, that seed has to grow and abide and find root in your heart in order to make you an... Yes. In order to make you an overcomer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, can you read 1 Peter 1, verse 23? Yeah.
Being born again.
Okay.
Not of a corruptible seed.
Yeah.
But of incorruptible.
Yeah.
By the word of God,
yes,
which liveth and abideth forever.
Okay, continue.
For all flesh is as grass,
yeah,
and all the glory of man as the flower of grass.
Yes.
The grass withereth,
mm,
and the flower thereof falleth away.
Yeah.
For the word of God endureth forever.
Yeah.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen. So it says, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower falleth away, but the word of God endures forever. And this word, which by the gospel is preached to you, so the word of God endures forever. Now that is why it is called incorruptible. So anything that is corruptible is something that will not last forever, right? Now that product, that incorruptible product, that's the instrument of how of birth. That's how God gives birth. Right. So now you know to overcome the world, you need to be born. The question is, how do you get born of God? Right. Now in that place, it says, he that is born of God overcomes, does not sin, because his seed remaineth in him. Now, as long as that seed is in him, because that seed is incorruptible, that's why that man cannot sin, because of that seed is an incorruptible seed. A man who has the incorruptible seed within him becomes incorruptible, because the seed is incorruptible.
This seed is deposited in you when you receive Christ as you.
So this seed, amen. When you receive Christ, you are a candidate to receive the seed.
Because from First John chapter 1, it's that verse, verse 2.
Yeah.
For as many as received him,
mm-hmm,
to them he gave power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
Even to them that believe on his name.
On his name, yes.
And I said, which are born not of blood,
yeah,
nor of flesh,
mm-hmm,
nor of the will of man,
yes,
but of God.
Yes.
So that means to be born of God.
Yeah.
And to be the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever is born of God is the son of God.
Yes.
And to be born of God, you have to receive him.
Yes.
And believe in him.
Yes.
According to the scripture.
Yes. Yes.
So I was thinking maybe that's when the seed, which is incorruptible, is sown,
yes,
in you, which is why you can't commit sin. But
yes,
the seed has to grow.
Yes.
Like it's like you planted,
mm-hmm,
normal seed in the,
yeah,
ground.
Yeah.
Which you have to keep watering it,
yes,
and feeding it to grow.
Yes. In your soul.
Okay, so that's why you said you're a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have the seed, but you're a candidate not to be able to commit sin. Is that...
You praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. When you talk of the word as a seed, you're talking of actually the administration of the word of God for the soul. The word of God, that the administration of the word that saved, quickened the spirit, wasn't as a seed. Right? God did it by recreation.
Yes.
You get?
Yeah.
God did it by what?
Recreation.
By recreation. God made it. The way, when God, the day God created the spirit, that newborn spirit that was there, God created anew, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, right? All things become new. Now, God, that spirit can never become better, right, than it is. It's God made it perfect. He created a perfect man. Now, when we now come into the area of receiving the seed sown, and you having the seed, all that stuff, all that soul language. Remember the parable of the sower?
Yeah.
After Jesus narrated the parable, and I said, okay, the seed is the word of God. And the ground is actually the heart of men. Right? That heart is actually the soul. Yes. Now, when it says that you have, for you to have the seed of God, not just enough to have the seed should abide. If you read the parable of the sower, it's possible for a sower to come and cast a seed, but nothing has happened. Right? And that the seed is just there on the wayside. It never got into the ground, right? And that the breeze will take it, or a bird of the air will take it. Yeah. Now, in that First John, what we read, right? Can you read it again? Chapter 3, verse 9. See, whosoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remaineth. You see that word? For the seed, what? Remaineth in him. Yeah. That word, that the seed remains in him. Remain. For the seed to remain. Means the seed has taken root. This seed that is remaining is not a baby seed that has not germinated. This is a seed that has been established. When you see that tree there, although you see the leaves and you see everything, that tree is actually a seed that has remained. Right? All those things you see on that tree is actually the expression of a seed. It's the seed you are seeing. The leaf is the seed. The stem is the seed. Because all the life that came out is from the seed. That is just the expression of the seed that was sown in the ground. You see? So when you see this seed here, now don't just think of a tiny seed as yet to come to a plant. They're talking about the seed that remains. Yeah. They use the word seed here to show you that the active ingredient is actually the life information. That's what the actual ingredient for overcoming is. What? Is the life information. That's why they use the word seed. Yes. So it's actually the life of God in you that overcomes the world. But you're not an overcomer of the world in one day. Maybe I just heard the revelation now. Whoa! Then it hits your soul. Does that is not enough. Because that revelation has come, but the seed has not remained. For a seed to remain in a heart, the seed has to overcome many things. Remember the parable of the sower?
Yeah. Sure.
You know all the things that seed has to overcome? The seed has to overcome the wind, first of all. It has to overcome all the birds, which are evil spirits, who come to want to pluck it. You read the revelation today, you are happy, you are glad, you went home. But they are spirits, they are looking at that word. Their job is to make sure that this word, though you've heard it, you're happy with it. This word must never take root. So they will do everything. They have operations. They have things they can orchestrate around you during your week. They know what to do. That by the time you come next week, that thing you had, they want to make sure it's not there anymore. They are spirits who are skilled. They know how to do it. When you watch flock, people in church, you see it. You will see that the devil is actively, the devil comes for the seed. Anytime a sower sows the seed, there is no seed that will easily just find root and grow without fight. For every seed that remains, there is a great warfare. You have to war and expire Satan, all his machinery. You have to overcome them in order for the seed right to remain. The proof that a seed has remained, there's only one proof. When you sow the seed, you can come back, you can see a nice stem has shoot out, you can see nice leaves, but that seed hasn't remained yet. There's still more to go. When you know that the seed has remained, when it has come to the fullness of its promise, when it has what? Brought forth fruit. So this seed that remained here in 1 John chapter 2 is actually a seed that has brought fruit. Praise the Lord. Amen. The book of John chapter 15, right? He said that we didn't call ourselves, but he has called us, right? He says we did not choose him, but he has chosen us that we should what? Bring forth much fruit. And what? That our what? Fruit might what? May abide. So you see, abiding is a critical component to overcoming. Yeah. Someone who is an abider is someone who has overcome everything. You mean you will expire the works of Satan. Then you are an abider. Then someone who is an abider is also, right, an overcomer. So you see that seed, right, has to overcome many, many, many things. The Bible speaks about the one that's sown by the wayside, right? There's one that's among thorns. That one that's sown among thorns is that one actually entered the ground. You see, it actually began to bring forth. You see? So it means that after a seed has been sown and it's showing some life, signs of life, it's still not safe. It hasn't in the eyes of the sower, the job is not complete. That seed hasn't come into, it hasn't remained. Because there are things called cares, right? It talks about the cares of this world that will rise to choke the seed. But if the seed can, right, grow among the tares and whatever, and then become stronger and not die, and then bring forth fruit, then you say that seed, what? Has abided. Does it make sense? So now you can translate that into the soul now. Right? So you can now see that when it says you are born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. By what? Okay, let's read it. Yeah.
By the word of God, which liveth and abideth.
Do you see that property? Now, see that property again. Right? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The Lord of God that liveth and what? And abideth. So it's not enough to live. You have to abide. Someone who is, you can just be gaining signs of life, right? You're beginning to hear, you're hearing. It's life, signs of life is that you are able to execute faith to a dimension, right? There are some decisions you can now make because you are more alive. Those are signs of life. But those signs of life is not enough. Those signs of life has to develop till it comes to a place where it what? Into abiding. Yes.
Into abiding.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Do you see verse 24? What it likens the flesh. You see, for all flesh is as what? Grass. And all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You know, there's grass has seed. Yeah. So, Now you sow the seed of a grass, but that seed of grass is not a fruitful seed. That what he calls grass doesn't have the property of overcoming. Because grass cannot bring forth fruit. And grass is fickle. Same thing with flowers. They are fickle. They wither. The Bible says the flower falleth away. This thing is a characteristic of what? Flesh. That's why flesh cannot overcome the world. Right? Flesh can't overcome the world because flesh is fickle. Praise the Lord. To take a soul where the word of God has taken root in and has been caused to abide, such a soul will what? Now become an overcomer. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us see James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 9. Yeah.
Let the brother of low degree rejoice.
Yes.
In that he is exalted.
Amen.
Amen.
Continue.
But the rich.
Yes.
But the rich in mm-hmm. that he is made low.
Yes.
Because the flower of the grass shall pass.
As the flower of the grass.
Because
right?
as the flower of the grass. It shall pass away.
Yes.
But the sun is no sooner risen
mm-hmm.
with a burning heat.
Yeah.
But it withereth the grass
yeah.
and the flower thereof falleth,
mm-hmm.
and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth.
Yeah.
So also shall the rich man fade away
yes.
his ways.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Mm.
For when he is tried, he
mm-hmm.
shall receive the crown of life
mm.
which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Yes.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God.
Yeah.
For God cannot be tempted with evil.
Yeah.
Neither tempted ye any man.
Yeah.
But every man is tempted
yeah.
when he is drawn away from his own lust.
Yes.
And enticed.
Yes.
Then when the lust had conceived it bringeth forth sin.
Mm-hmm.
And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So in from verse 9 and 10, they compared someone who is of low degree. Now, low degree means someone who in the outward, in the natural, he seems low. It's just, you know, when you are classifying people in society through the metric, you know, the world has its metrics for measuring men, right? Sadly, most people see their eyes through the metrics of the world. Right. How do you determine whether you are doing well or not? Most likely, for most people, their basis of that judgment, how do you measure men, is not based on God's own measurement. It's based on the measurements of the world. Right. So in that measurement, there's someone who you can call a person of low degree. Right. And there's someone you can call rich. in most cases, the person who the world calls rich is poor. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible says. I mean, in most cases, someone who is rich in the world, usually they are poor. Because most of them spend their soul to get it. And when you spend your soul, right, the author Jesus Christ said, they labor for bread that perishes. We are laboring, you are spending your soul. When you are spending yourself, you lose yourself in the process. But a man who is low, the Bible says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, it doesn't say he should be happy because God will exalt him. You understand that language there, right? What he's saying is not that, he doesn't have money now, but he should rejoice because he will have money very soon. That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying, in that his state, he should rejoice. Because in that state of lowness, according to the eyes of the world, is actually an exalted place in God's eyes. Right? He says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low. Because the riches are fleeting. Right? Any man is rich now, right? That riches are going. Even if he says rich to all of his life, when he dies, he will leave them. Because those riches are not really his. No man can take the riches of this world anywhere. You get? So anybody that you see is rich now, there's a time attached to it. Right? So he says, but the rich in that is made low because... So what he's saying here is that the man who is low should rejoice because in his low state, he's actually exalted. The rich man should be happy. What he should be happy of is that when they begin to make him low, that's where he should be happy. Right? Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen from with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that what? That love him. So this trial here is actually the trial of faith. Okay? This trial is what the seed goes through. Right? This trial is a trial that the seed goes through and the seed has to endure. Okay? In order to come to fullness. It says, lo, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when what? He is drawn away by his own. So the lust that draws a man is his own. It's your own thing. So it's not God, it's your own. When you are tempted, it's your own. So Satan has what put the world is just a means by which Satan transforms lust into man. When you fellowship with the world, you begin to receive. You can't fellowship with the world and not receive its property. It produces lust in you. These things are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? And the pride of life. When the flesh, the world is at war, when you fellowship with the world, it produces enmity with God. The enmity with God is that lust within. That lust is that force that drives a man away from the love of God. Because when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death is actually a product of sin. 1 Corinthians 15 says what? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin, right, is the law. Yeah. So sin is the instrument of death, right? Lust is the instrument of sin. So you see how the world is actually just a way to keep man in sin. Praise God. So it's good. Let's not dwell too much now on that scenario. I think there's a good understanding, right, of sin and what the world is. But what the information we need to know is how we ought to overcome, right? Okay. Let's go back to that John chapter. First John. Amen. Okay, before First John, let's go to John first. John 1, while we're reading. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was manifest to take away our sin. Okay? In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifested to what? Take away our sin. And in him is no sin. Therefore, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither known him. Amen. So the reason for his manifestation is to what? To what? To take away our sin. Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest to what? Destroy the works of the devil. Right? The reason for his manifestation is to destroy the works. Now, that manifestation is talking about him being manifest in the flesh. Okay? Because sin, actually, the what carries the function of sin is the flesh. So if Christ is not manifest in the flesh, you can't deal with that function of sin. So he is manifest to destroy the works. Now, there's also a provision for him within where he deals with the source of the works. Okay? But Christ doesn't just deal with the source of the works, though he starts from there. But the end goal is for him to become manifest in the flesh to destroy the works themselves. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, in the book of John chapter 1, right? It says, verse 12, it says, as many as what? Received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? And truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, if he was manifested to take away our sins, and when he was manifested, that we dwelt, we beheld his glory. Means the way he was manifested to us is he manifested his fullness. What is what? He's full of. And that manifestation was grace and what? And truth. So that tells you the antidote to what? Sin is what? It's grace and truth. Without grace, there's no overcoming of sin. It's impossible to overcome sin. And also, when grace is present, you can't have sin. Because the grace is the energy of God to destroy, right? Or to take away sin. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received what? Grace and for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by what? By Jesus Christ. Now, so you see in the book of Romans.
That's why we're not living after the law.
Yes.
Because Jesus came to replace the law.
Yes, with grace. Because grace is the only thing. Grace is just the energy of God. You know, I was talking about how Christ, God is an overcomer by being.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What makes him overcome is because he's full of grace. So sin doesn't even want to see him. Right? So what Jesus Christ came was to bring that grace as well to us. Let's see Romans 5. In Romans 5, you see, in verse 19, Romans 5 verse 19, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We worship you. Amen. 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 Romans 5 verse 19 says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But do you know why? Because sin is a transgression of the law.
No, yes.
All right. So the more law you have, if you have somebody who has zero grace, zero, when you measure his grace quantity is zero, and then you bring this level amount of law to him, you will have that amount of sin. If you bring now this amount of law, how much sin will you have? Uh-huh. When you bring plenty law, he will transgress plenty sins. So we remove grace from the equation. The amount of law you give a man is the amount of sin you will have. Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7, right? He says that the law came and took, sin came and took occasion by the commandment and killed me. It's when the law started saying, don't do that. And then I tried not to do it. I found I didn't have the ability not to do it. You get? Sin. So anybody who doesn't have that property of grace is helpless against sin. It doesn't matter how many laws you bring. That's why it says that what? The sting of death is what? Sin? And then what is strength of sin?
Death. No, loss.
The law.
The law, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. You now see that statement, right? What makes sin strong? What perpetuates sin? What entrenches sin? What makes sin a way of life? Is a law. Because law is for law. So sin itself is actually a law. That's why it can defeat any other law. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, it says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin what? Abounded. What happened? Grace did much more abound. Jesus didn't just come to bring tiny grace. They said, when we saw his glory, of his full of what? As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full. Full. Jesus Christ was full of grace. That's why he was tempted with everything, but he overcame. Because he was full of grace. And that is of his fullness. Have we then what? Received grace for grace. So that, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace what? Reign through righteousness unto eternal life by who? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ brought the reign of grace. So when you see people talking and teaching and they are learning this and learning that and all that, but they are not overcoming sin, something is wrong. One of the proof that you're actually preaching Christ is that preaching of Christ is producing overcoming of sin. Sin should reduce where Christ is what? Magnified. That defeats that wrong idea of grace. That grace means anything you do, God, you know,
pardons.
God pardoned. No, that's not grace. Grace is the antidote of sin. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live what? Any longer in it. It's not possible. What Paul is saying here is not possible. Don't bring that conversation. It's not possible for grace and sin to be existing together. God forbids it. Grace is too powerful to cohabit with sin. Someone say, well, I'm under grace. No. If you are sinning, there is no grace. The reason why you are sinning is because you lack grace. It's not enough to confirm, I'm under grace. No, you can say I'm under grace, but grace is a substance. Grace is a real soul. When grace enters your soul gains energy against sin. Sin does not have power over you anymore. That layer, that lust, the pool of sin is broken because of grace. Praise the Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead? So grace makes you dead to sin. And alive to righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now how does grace carry out this thing? Why is grace so powerful? What's the operation? Amen. Of grace. Let's now go to that place where you were speaking of before, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Yeah, can you read?
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation
and
appear to all men,
teaching
us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly
in this present world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. It says that the grace of God, right, that what bringeth salvation has appeared. Amen. Salvation is when you've come to a place that's beyond death. That's what it means to be saved, right? When you have overcome sin and death. Someone that is saved is someone who has overcome sin and what? And death. Now, but what will bring you to that place? Grace is an exalter. Grace raises, he elevates. Grace elevates. Because it says this grace brings what? Salvation. Right? Grace is the what? Is the bringer of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, right? Let's read Ephesians 2, verse 5. We'll come back to that place. Well, let's just read Ephesians 2, verse 5.
Even when we were dead in sin.
Let's read from verse 4, sorry.
Okay. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us.
Yes.
Even when we were dead in sin.
Yes.
Had quickened us together with Christ.
Yes.
By the grace ye are saved.
Yes.
And had raised us up together.
Yeah.
And made us sit together in heavenly
places. Thank you, Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Through Christ Jesus.
Verse 8.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Yes.
And that not ye yourself. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 10.
For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus
unto
good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Amen. Wherefore, remember that ye be, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh.
Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship your name. We bless your holy name. We give you praise. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. Thank you. Me Christus, Eprasia, Atenosia, Hecrandi Levendushet, Eprandi Vecasis, Epocadamase, Hembresia. We worship your holy name, Father. We bless your name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our God. We worship you. Thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. See, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he had what? He had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye what? Saved. All the aspects of salvation are gracious products. The spirit was saved by grace. The soul will be saved by grace. Even the body will be saved by grace. Because grace is the instrument of salvation. Right? Praise the Lord. Grace is God's quickening ability. It's the quickener. Grace quickens. Grace makes alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Makadesh tekalia. Hatalaka sekelia zuprahasta kadisha doria. Hemmararosha hataka kariga lo shangazeke sekelia baria. Hamatania sastike stekaira handa kaira hande kalia da hande. Hapa papa sekete kaija soto ribata. Handra sa ekrise kambra etashanda libra hazosukoria. Heprasaria lana. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We worship you. Chapter, verse 1 of that chapter 2 says, and you had he what? Had he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses. The word quickened, made alive. You had he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the cause of what? You see, this world. It means you can't come over the cause of the world without being quickened. The reason why you have to be quickened is because you have to be, this world is a place for the dead. I mean the cause. I don't mean the natural physical world now. I mean the cause of it. Cause means what is the prevalent cause in the world? How do men live? The wisdom for life on the earth is what you call the world. That world, he said, in time past in which you walked according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of what? The power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Now, you now discover that when you see men how living according to a cause, is that cause is actually defined by a spirit. It's not ordinary. The world, the way men will live, is actually a life that has been produced from the realm of the spirit. By someone who the Bible calls the prince of the power of the air, is that same spirit that walks in where? In the children of disobedience. Means children of disobedience means children who disobey. Their life. So that spirit teaches disobedience. He's a tutor. The world teaches disobedience. You know, disobedience to what? To God. Or disobedience to the faith.
Because, like, I don't know. I can't ask you.
Yes.
Faith is also like a law. Is a law.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, not sure. Let me see. Yeah. Like, faith is a law. Like when we say like Christ rises, the law is laws on our hearts.
Yeah.
It's like. Faith, because it's basically it's God when you're justified by faith, so mm-hmm. you live by faith. So
yeah.
Faith is let's say obedience to God, like he's
yeah.
giving you instructions, he's
yeah.
leading you by spirit.
So, yes.
And for you to live by those instructions. Mm-hmm. You have to have faith to believe in them, mm-hmm. and walk in them.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is like the laws of Christ in our hearts as well, right?
Yes. It's all together.
You can't really separate.
Yeah. They derive from each other. You know, you can derive life from faith. You derive law, right? Faith, because faith is actually the way, right? Or is a way of life, right? That is lawful.
Yes.
Because it was written, the just shall live by faith. Right? Now living by faith is living by revelation.
Yeah.
Because in the gospel is the word righteousness of God revealed from where? From faith to faith. For it is as it is written that the just shall live by faith. When you say live by something, it's actually a law that you should live by. The law of the spirit is faith.
When you don't live by faith, that's as you now disobey.
You are disobeying the law. So that's why it takes grace to live by faith. That's why by grace are you saved. Verse 8. Through what? Faith. So when you talk of obedience, the real order of obedience is actually to be aligned with the faith life. The life of faith. When you say someone is in... Now these children of disobedience... There are people who don't live by faith. But whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you say these children, so all this prince of the power of the air is teaching, is he's breaking down faith life. Anything that will make a man look upward, no, let's destroy, let's produce some kind of logical, let's produce a provision, right? Let man depend more on his intellect than he does on faith, on God. Let man depend more on his environment and what he sees than on a being who he cannot see. Although this being is a spirit, but he's teaching men how to be carnal. Right?
Yes.
So what he's actually propagating is actually disobedience. Let's see briefly the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. If I read from verse 1, say Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets, by the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of what? David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by what? The resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? Obedience to the faith among all nations, what? For his name. You see. So the grace and apostleship of Paul and these guys was for to produce a life of obedience to the faith. So grace produces obedience to faith. And to take obedience to faith, to take faith to produce righteousness. You get? And righteousness means a way of life that is void of sin. Yeah. So when it says, by grace are you saved? Through faith. Can you see the revelation of how it happens? How the soul is saved. The soul comes to salvation. Salvation comes as a place where you are no longer disobedient.
Yeah.
Where you are beyond sin and death. By grace are you saved. Through faith. Grace provides the energy to execute the faith instructions. And those faith instructions are tantamount to obedience in the sight of God. So when you say someone who is saved is an obedient man. Anybody who is disobedient to God and say, I'm saved. No, you're not saved. Your spirit might be saved, but you are not saved as long as you are still walking according to the course of this world. As long as you are still carrying out the way of the children of what? Of disobedience. Yes. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, right? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, what? Together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God had before ordained that we should what? Okay. Now, first of all, you can't do good works by yourself. The first person who did the first work is God. Does it make sense? Have you ever you've read the saying, faith without works? I think that was James that said that, right? He said, faith without works is what? Is dead. The reason for faith is to produce works. Yes. So you see people talk about faith versus works as if they are two opposing things. Well, it's not by works, by faith. No. It's just what is. You must do works. It's just what kind of works are you doing?
Yeah, because the works are prompted by faith.
Yes. Because there are also works of grace, too.
Yeah, but grace produces faith for salvation, right?
Yes.
So I think the work of grace and the works of faith are like.
They are the same.
The same.
Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You cannot be saved without works. It's not possible to be saved without works. But when you say works to people, they just think, just going to do things. No.
The works are not like your physical work. Like,
it can
your
be
physical works of like, I'm not going to steal today for like 3 days or something. Those are not the works that. These are works that are prompted by obedience of faith.
Yes. Do you see it? Now, the works might even be I'm not going to steal. But I'm not going to steal that one person says can be different from I won't steal from that another person says.
Yes.
The question is, where is it born from? Do you know if flesh can wake up and say one day, I don't want to sin and steal anymore. Just by mere decision. But that kind can't produce salvation. Because it's not born of grace. It doesn't carry the energy. When real temptation comes, it will what? Yeah. Because it's not born of grace energy. The reason for grace is for faith to produce works of salvation. God did the first one. The first one, we had nothing to do with it. That's the salvation of the Spirit. That was God's work. God did a work. You see in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, when you see things like what which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Right? When every spirit is created, that thing is a work of God. You don't have anything to do. God just did it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 10, it says, you are his what? Workmanship, his own, not your work. God, the production of your saved spirit, your resurrected or new spirit man, is actually a product of the workmanship of God. Make sense? But that's not all. He did that, so you are his workmanship created in Christ. That word created is your When you talk of created in Christ, talking of the new creation, that's your spirit man, right? You guys, workmanship created in Christ unto what? Good works. So there are another kind of works now. That's not the first one. That is his workmanship. This one is the one you will now begin to do. Your soul. So you say your spirit was saved so that your soul can do good works. Yes. Mm-hmm. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had well before ordained that we should what? We should walk in them. Now those works are the works of grace. Now let's go back to Titus chapter 2. Thank you, Father. Worship you. Bless you. See, for the grace of God, that what? That bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, grace, when grace comes to you, the way it imputes its energy is by teaching. So it doesn't matter how anointed I am. I can't come to you and lay my hands on you and say, receive grace to stop sinning. That's nice. It's a good prayer. But that prayer can result in grace, more grace coming to you. But coming to you in the sense that grace will begin to beckon to you to come. Come to my school. Come to my school. I have things to teach you. Aha. You get. As a result of that prayer, you begin to see grace will begin to try to get your attention. But the real way grace infuses its ability, the way grace makes its soul strong or against sin, the way grace endows a soul is through how? Through teaching. You must have come under the tutelage of grace. Grace must have taught you. Praise the Lord. Do you know why? Because the world is also a teacher. When you see someone according to the cause of this world, someone who's walking according to the cause of this world is someone who has been instructed in his soul on how to walk. You see it? Someone, I take an average person, you don't need someone to actively tell you, go and do that bad thing. Inside you, you've been taught to do it. You know you have the wisdom on how to carry out wickedness just by being in this world. So as you are growing, you are being taught. So God has to make something, raise something that can get to those places of learning in your soul. And then begin to teach a different doctrine and bring a different instruction contrary to the instruction of the world. That's the instruction of grace. So grace is a teacher. Grace is actually a revelator. You get? If someone has lust for a thing, lust is strong because the person is convinced somewhere he has a need for that thing. Deep down, a strong conviction that lust for it, you desire it. Right? Now, to really destroy that thing, you can't destroy that thing without teaching. When grace comes and teaches the soul, you will come to a place where you can see through that thing. You will see it for what it is. You will see its unprofitability by revelation. Once that revelation enters your heart for that thing, it will break the power. in the soul. You see all the kind of strong feelings we have. Strong feelings. All those feelings are tied to. They are tied to understanding. The stronghold of the will is understanding. When a soul comes into an understanding, it will give strength to the will. Makes sense, right? Yes. If you want someone to do something really, to be devoted to something, you have to impart an understanding. The person will take it as his own cause. Without that understanding, they might be with you because they like you, but they can't stay. That's why Satan made sin into a seed and brought it to Eden, into a tree. That tree is a teacher. This is the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. That's why sin is a law. What makes sin powerful is that it comes to you in law form. Sin is not just, it's not an anointing alone. It's a law. There's an understanding you have. Your when you see the world, there's a way you see it that drives you every day on what to do. If God wants you to stop living according to the cause of the world, the way men live, God has to get to the depth of where your understanding of life is seated and bring a new revelation. That's the work of grace. That's the instruction of grace. Let us see 1 Peter. One of our problems is that we don't know God's method of salvation. You get? So sometimes when we feel tempted, we just start praying. We feel like if we fast for 3 days, the temptation will go. That fasting can ginger you, and the temptation might go for a day or two, but you've not done anything. You get? Because what makes you able to be tempted, you've not dealt with it. The strength of lust is an understanding within. You have a conceptualization that can enable you to see something and desire it. That thing has to be broken. So nobody can be delivered from temptation without revelation. You can't overcome any temptation without what? Without a new insight must hit your heart. It will break the power of that thing. Praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has what? Nothing in me. He took Jesus in his soul. He made him in his soul to see all the kingdoms of the world. That temptation of Jesus, we just read it. You don't know what it was. If they bring that thing to you, I mean, what Jesus felt in his heart when Satan did that. Imagine that you can see all the goodness of this in this world. In that moment, Jesus was able to feel all the kind of emotions, all the kind of pleasures, everything, the kind of goodies you can feel from the things of the world. Jesus felt everything in a moment. I know if they bring that thing to me, I can't stand. If Satan packages all the pleasures of the world together, and then brings it to you. That's what he tempted Jesus with. In his heart. Jesus saw it. But because Jesus had a different. What? A different revelation. And a different understanding. He was full of the word. He was full of the incorruptible seed. His sense of value was incorruptible. Because everything. Everything in the world is passing away. The world will pass, but what? The word of God abides forever. Because it's incorruptible. Jesus Christ had the incorruptible seed. He looked at everything and told Satan, it is written.
He used the word incorruptible.
It is written. Come, Atta. For it sounds easy, but it's not. For you to look at all that and see it is written. It means it is written is more valuable to you than everything they just showed you. God wants to raise us there. Where we can look at temptation and see it is written. Yes. Karya tamasha. Padika sekende le kambo neteri sahaya. Hambra satariza provene shekari elomahaya. Hamba sakate keke and the keliba tona hansa. Helenos. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your holy name. Thank you, our Father. Amen. Amen. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13.
Peter 1:13.
Yeah.
Wherefore guard up your loins of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Be sober.
Yeah.
And hope to the end of the grace mm-hmm. that is to be brought unto you.
Yeah.
At the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. It says, wherefore, guard up what?
Your loins.
The loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. At what?
The revelation.
There is the appearance of grace to you. And then there is a content of grace within you. When grace comes to you, it wants to deposit itself in you. But the way you do that, it will teach you.
Okay.
The way it will teach you, it will bring an appearance to you. The outer appearance is actually a revelation. It will bring a revelation. Grace always brings revelation. Right? When you say, oh, I received grace to overcome that. Well, I will ask you, what is the revelation you got? if you didn't tell me, you can't tell me the revelation you had concerning it, but you just feel like you've overcome it. You might feel you've overcome it, but you haven't overcome it. It will come again when that feeling goes. That's why the church should be a place of grace. You get? When you go to church, there should be a revelation that takes you higher than where you were before you came. So the Bible calls, Paul told Timothy, I'm writing these things to you that you might know how to conduct yourself where? In the church, which is the pillar and the ground of what? Of truth. The church is the place where truth is unveiled, where grace is imparted to people. By what? Revelation. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and then hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at what? The revelation. So whenever Jesus is revealed, what happens? Grace is brought to you. Why? Because he's full of what?
Grace.
Of grace. When they are revealing Jesus to you, and you are just knowing stuff, but you are not coming into grace energy to walk in obedience, you should be weary. Because why am I learning so much, but I'm not gaining energy over what? Over sin, over disobedience. When Christ is really revealed, you will overcome. Because he is full of grace and truth. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just begin to thank God this morning. I don't know if you have any questions.
Just one question
okay.
from where we read in Romans chapter 1.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 1, where Jesus. Chapter 5.
Okay. We were at chapter 1. We didn't read chapter 5.
Sorry. Chapter 1. And,
What was it?
Christ is full of grace and truth.
Okay, that's John.
John, sorry.
Yes, chapter
John,
1.
Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Okay. That's verse 17. Mm. Said, for the law was given by Moses.
Yeah.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, truth is revelation.
Truth is not just revelation. Truth is the content of the revelation of Christ.
That's when grace brings Jesus to us.
Yes.
That's by revelation.
The truth is the Father and the Son. The Godhead themselves, they are what you call truth. Outside them, there is no truth. Yes. So, the reason for grace is to come into truth. Grace reveals truth.
Okay. So, grace is not... the truth is not revelation. It's the content. It's the Father.
Revelation is a vehicle. It's like a car came. I mean, who is the car bringing?
Okay, revelation is the...
it's the instrument.
The path to truth.
Yes. Revelation is the vehicle for truth.
Okay.
Yeah. It carries truth. It brings truth. Yeah. Truth is the content of God. That's the very nature of God. Truth actually means anything that cannot pass away, that can never pass away. And only God has that property. That truth is actually the content of the incorruptible seed. What makes the seed incorruptible is because it has that property of truth. Yeah. That's what Jesus is full of. He came to bring grace for access to truth. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Father, we thank you. So you now realize why Jesus sees the spirit of truth which the world cannot receive. What can receive truth?
The truth
and the life. Yes. Yes. Except through me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. Just thank God for his revelation this morning, for speaking to us, for reminding us and showing us the hope of salvation through faith by grace. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Matrese Christus. Erene Senta Ilikaiva Tone Entesepuhonia. Hambada Katakasheke Sukutufunele Kesekele Nebeleke Nevetrosia, the Crescent Benefentekele Ida Pasotele Yenahata. Alice Casoto Rivers and Hori Cashante, Medecandelizo Copretia Zapasia Davante, Emma Ekaifa Hita Sete Shondra Eta Zacre, Carizon Terri Masse Carimata Crufente Cabrante Shempore de Venture, Esseri Cadavazi Passe, Mae Cleventeni Atone, Hey Papa Papa. Oh, yes, let's just begin to pray for revelation in our hearts, in our soul, all the different kinds of revelation we need to set us free from the cause of this world. As Christ is being revealed, grace is imparted. There's a grace that should come to us at the revelation of Jesus. Father, let great revelation increase. Let the tutelage of grace increase. Grace for overcoming. Grace to overcome. Matakaste keredosha. Elifasa e cresonde. Lila taima taronia. Erinia serenonde. Ambrase kailo shete. Brenzo terivaste keredosekeya. Emasasale tali toli indelebos de kebraita kerudeta kaisa kalita entabaha mande shali vosata ibrata karodo se kebrete karosha ende kalunia emposte kaeli savatoli etora hatarabasha engrazo te keredo se keste sevrente ribosende erianda hatamata handuri hataramata emuri hataramata keriondiri haramata in prostekeredos endrehenos. Oh, we worship your name. Oh, we bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We bless you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word which you have sown, the seed of the word which has been sown into our heart. Father, take this seed and do your thing with it. Let your spirit cause it to be sown in the depths of our heart and find root and then begin to bring fruit in our lives. Father, we are opening, we're scratching the surface of the mystery of salvation. Father, we ask you would take us deeper, reveal more, unveil more to us. Unveil more of the mystery of grace, the mystery of faith, the mystery of salvation. Show it to us, Father. Father, make us become masters. Father, make us become matured, Father, in the Spirit. We pray, if there be anything in our lives that has been gaining the better of us, any kind of weakness or any kind of struggle or stronghold if that the world has been able to institute within us, Father, we pray by the revelation of grace, may it be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. May you become exalted above everything else. Thank you, our God. We worship your holy name. We bless you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, our God. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth.